Just delighted to be back and share with you just a little bit of background, because there may be some that say, who are you? And so let me just explain a little bit. We are actually one of the supported missionaries through prayer and financial support of this church, and we have been for over 30 years. We're very delighted, so thankful for the connection that we've had. That connection was even stronger for those of you that were back in the 70s, I guess it was, into the 80s. The church that I was involved in Stonewall and this church were connected even then, encouraging each other in evangelism and reaching out to people. So the link with this church has been very strong. My wife and I, Karen, were in France for 18 years and ministered there. Then we returned and came back to Canada, but we settled in Southern Ontario because I became the Canadian director of the organization that we ministered with in Europe called Greater Europe Mission, or GEM, as some people know it. And then just this summer, I stepped down from the position of being the director, thinking that it was time to give that role to someone a little bit younger. And so we've moved back out to Manitoba, and I continue to be with the organization representing the cause of ministry in Europe, in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta. And I enjoy the privilege of being able to travel and be in different churches and different kinds of events. Just had Mission Fest here in Winnipeg last weekend. Some of you possibly attended that. It was a great opportunity for me to be able to engage people in conversation. Actually ended up talking to a young couple here in Winnipeg who are seriously considering going to minister and give their lives to ministering in the country of Italy. And so God is raising up people to go and be involved in ministry. That's so exciting. Also, just want to mention that I myself, even though I'm not the national director now, I will be every year likely taking a short-term team for those in the Winnipeg area who would love to be involved in a short-term ministry team each year. I'm taking a team to go to Europe for 2 weeks. And if you are interested, I'm going at the end of May, May 25th till June the 9th. I'll be going to my heartthrob, France. Taking a team to France, and we're going to minister in the French Alps, a little bit different than Winnipeg, up in the French Alps, and we're going to be ministering at a camp up there. So if you're at all interested, there's brochures at the back, or if you'd be interested in going on another short-term team for a couple of weeks in 2018, I'd love to talk to you about that. Can we just pray? Father, I just thank you we have this moment together. I would ask that your Spirit be with us. May your Spirit guide my thoughts. May your Spirit guide all of us. And may your Spirit have full reign to be able to speak into hearts as he wants to. This is your moment, as was also the time we worshiped you. We are open to you and your leading. In Christ's name, amen. Tonight, or today, I would like to speak to you about, or just share with you an image in the Bible about who we are. And it's one that often we don't talk about a lot. I actually had a chat with Pastor Glenn, and I know that he's been going through a series called The Good Life, and going through the wisdom literature, as we say, in the Old Testament. Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, etc. And I just want to share with you what I think. I'm not going to take away from that. He's going to carry on that, I believe, next week. But I do want to talk about something that I think is related to the good life. But it actually is an image that comes out of the New Testament. And I just want to share it with you this morning. It's an image that we often do not talk about all that much. But the Bible actually says that you are an ambassador. An ambassador. Now, that's actually an image that we don't use very often. But I'd like to go through and just talk a little bit about what the Bible says about what is about this concept. Let's go to the next slide. By the way, I'm going to have to give cues like that instead of pressing a button, so if you don't mind if I do hand signals and all that kind of thing. All right, first of all, let's talk about a little bit about an ambassador. And I was going to say, what is an ambassador? And I thought, well, that's not very nice, because an ambassador we know is a person. So who is an ambassador? Now, I've got to tell you a story. I don't know how many of you have ever met an ambassador. Do you know what? I never have met one yet, but I was close. When I went to France for the first 18 months, we lived in the suburbs of Paris. Oh, what a dream, eh? Man, a lot of people give a lifetime just to go to France. And we actually got to live in the suburbs of Paris for 18 months. We were learning the language. I was also working in a church as kind of an intern to kind of get a little bit enculturated to understand what it was. And you know what? I did a little research because I spent some time. I had to go down to the Canadian embassy from time to time. It's interesting, you know, you go in the door of the Canadian embassy and the ambassador is not there to greet you when you first go in. It's kind of disappointing, but that's the way it is. Anyway, I got thinking a little bit. I never, ever met the Canadian ambassador when I was there, but he's the man on the left. And you know what? I didn't really know too much about him at all, but those of you who were back in Canada, especially more my age, you would know him, Lucien Bouchard. He was at one point, I think, a cabinet minister in the conservative government. I'm not sure whose it was, Mulroney maybe, or something like that. And but yeah, he actually was the ambassador in France during the time that I was in Paris, and I didn't even know that. And of course, would not have known him back at that time. On the right-hand side, on the other hand, is a man named Joseph Rogers. And Joseph Rogers was the American ambassador to France. Now, I almost was closer to the American ambassador than I was to the Canadian ambassador, because the American embassy, which if some of you have been to Paris, and you know where the obelisque is, if you've been there, that's that needle that was sent, sticks away up in the air, and it was sent from Egypt, and it sits there in Paris just on the Champs-Élysées, and there is the American embassy close by. And I actually got an invitation to go to the American Embassy at one point for a special function. Unfortunately, I got sick and couldn't go because I had some American colleagues, American friends, and they actually got an official invitation to come to the special party. And I did a little research on it and found out this Joe Rogers is from, I think it's Alabama or whatever, and he used to have a special function because there was a special type of chocolate delicacy that was served, and he would serve it often, invite Americans to come and have a special thing in the American Embassy. So I was close to meeting him. Apparently, when you go in, you actually get a chance to meet him and everything. And I would have been there, not because I'm an American citizen, but because I was invited. Found out, by the way, that he is a believer, a committed believer, or was. He's passed away now. He's with the Savior. But anyway, so that was my first exposure to an ambassador. Let's move on. What is an ambassador, though? Oh, by the way, here's another ambassador. And some of you know this man because he comes from Manitoba. Gary Doer, he was, of course, after being your premier, I say your because I wasn't here at that point, he actually became the Canadian ambassador to the U.S. He is no longer, by the way. He now is employed by a business company. But an ambassador is a high-ranking governmental representative stationed in a foreign country. So, okay, it's not too terribly complicated, but just think about that for a moment. A high-ranking governmental representative stationed in a foreign country. All right? Now, let's think a little bit about what an ambassador does. Let's move on to the next. Two things I'd like to emphasize. Number one is an ambassador has special privileges and benefits. Special privileges and benefits, and then he has specific responsibilities. Let me just share a little bit about what some of those special privileges or benefits would be. He's often given this position, by the way, as a reward for faithful service. And that was the case with Gary Doer. He was a premier here in Manitoba for many, many years. And I mean, I'm not going to get into the political battle as to whether you think it was good or bad, but the bottom line is he served as the premier for a number of years, and as a result, I assume it was as a result, they must have felt that he had a little bit of merit in it. Our government, at that particular time, it was Stephen Harper, decided to appoint him as the Canadian ambassador to the U.S. So in some ways, he had served his country faithfully, and because of that, he was given this particular position. He was responsible for the economic and, you might say, making sure that our country was represented well in the United States during that time. So, but there were special privileges that they would have. For example, and you're likely aware of this, but when you go to the embassy, any embassy around the world, that embassy is actually regarded as being immune. There's immunity from the laws of the land in which you are living, and it applies whatever happens within that particular embassy or embassy compound is the same as it would happen back in your own country. So there's a special immunity. That's why you've heard different stories. I'm sure you've heard different stories of how some people are hiding out in the embassy of another country because they have certain laws of protection for them in that particular country. So there are certain privileges. He has privileged connections. There's all kinds of certain privileges that and benefits that come with being an ambassador. But with all of those benefits, there's also very specific responsibilities. And there are three responsibilities that I would just say very quickly about an ambassador. First of all, he represents the country. Now, he's supposed to represent the country faithfully and genuinely. So when you represent the country, it doesn't just mean you come out and make a little statement from time to time on behalf of that country. Your values, the way you live, is to represent well the country you come from. So the Canadian values, the Canadian way of life is to be represented by that ambassador. Secondly, he's to serve his country. When he's in that particular country, he doesn't make decisions on his own. He takes orders from the government back in his country, and he faithfully serves the decisions and the wishes of his country. And then thirdly, he honors his country. He honors his country. We are not supposed to have an ambassador who basically gets the news release or goes to the news in, let's say, France and criticizes his own country of Canada. That's not the place of an ambassador. The role of the ambassador is to honor the country he represents. So that's what an ambassador does. With all of that as a background, okay, that's just introduction. Now, believe me, that was a long introduction. Okay, so if we went that far, don't be discouraged. We're not going to be here for a long, long time. Let's look at what that means for us as an ambassador. Do we have privileges? Do we have responsibilities? I'm going to go to the next one, because here is the passage that I would say would be the key passage I want us to go through. And I've actually put the text up there because I'd like us to read it through together. And with the background of what I've already said about being an ambassador, I'd like us to read with that in mind. You are an ambassador. For Christ's love compels us. This is the Apostle Paul under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit who is writing to us. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I think that there are several things in this particular passage that will help us to understand what he means by the fact that we are ambassadors. First of all, and that's the next slide, there is something we need to understand about an ambassador. If we are ambassadors, of what or who? Well, in this particular passage, 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we are ambassadors of Christ and his kingdom. Because Christ, of course, the whole idea of the word Christ is Messiah, which means king. And a king is not a king unless he has a kingdom. So we are the ambassador of Christ and his kingdom. But we live in another kingdom. We are present in another kingdom. Okay, you get the idea. But then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it also says, this is the other, by the way, the only other place in the New Testament where it actually uses this term, ambassador. And it says, we are ambassadors of the gospel. We are ambassadors of the gospel. In fact, Paul, in that particular passage, you know what he's doing? He's saying, I want you to pray for me because I'm in prison. He says, I am in chains. But I am an ambassador of the gospel in prison. So we are not only ambassadors of Christ and his kingdom, we are ambassadors of the good news of the kingdom, which of course is focused on Christ. Okay? That's clearly who we are responsible to. All right? Now, let's move on to the next one, please. Because now, what are our benefits? What are our perks as an ambassador? I mean, if we're going to be an ambassador for Christ, aren't there some benefits for us? Yes, indeed. He spends a lot of time talking about what are the benefits for us. First of all, we experience the life of love of Christ. Now, I just want to take a moment because this has got to sink in. Jesus loves me, this I know. We all know that. We sing it when we're kids. I love singing it with my grandkids, my grandchildren, and they sing it out. It's one of the first songs they've learned. Do you believe it this morning? God loves you. And you know, the love of God, it's not kind of like the love that we talk about on TV, where it's here today, gone tomorrow. Yeah, I'll follow you for the rest of my life, and then 3 months later, I leave you, and I'll get married to someone else. We live in all that all the time. Love is being thrown all over the word. When God says, I love you, he means it. And you know what? God's love is never conditional. Even though sometimes you may feel, well, you know what? God, that doesn't feel like love right now. Well, you've got to change your definition of love. Because I can assure you, God loves you. And his love is always there. And sometimes he may discipline you. Sometimes it may be painful. Sometimes he may bring you through some difficult experiences. But you know what? You cannot likely understand it while you're in the midst of it. But it is still an expression of his love. He is more concerned about your well-being, your deep well-being, than even you are. Because sometimes we don't really know what is the best for us. But he does. We must never forget, Christ loves us. You know, the one who crucified followers of Jesus, the one who was absolutely convinced that they were enemies of God, one day met Christ face to face, and it changed his life. And that's the one who wrote this. And he says that the love of Christ compels me. It compels me. Once it seeps into my heart and it stays there, it moves me. So the first thing that I would say is a benefit for us today as ambassadors is the love of Christ in your life. It changes everything. It changes everything. And you know what? If you haven't responded to that, then it's important for you to follow on, because we're going to talk about just how important that really is. So the first thing is we experience the love of Christ. And that's not just a little thing. It's the foundation of it all. Secondly, we benefit from the work of Christ in his death and resurrection. He goes on to talk there, and you've heard that phrase often about the death and the resurrection of Christ and how important that is. But Paul emphasizes again that it's this love of God for you, the love of Christ for you, that means that God allowed, God sent his Son, and that Jesus, God the Son, said, I am willing to come. And he died. He died at the hands of those that he created. He created them for his glory. They turned against him, just like we've turned against him. And they became enemies of Christ, and they put him to death, thinking, you know, we'll just get rid of this guy. And in the process, they actually did what needed to be done. Christ had to go to the cross, and he died, and then he rose from the dead. And we benefit from that work. So that's a big benefit, because it changes everything. Moves on to the next one. He says that we are a new creation. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Our lives have been changed. And that's the benefit of being an ambassador of Christ. We're different now. We're not like we used to be, because of what Christ has done. And then fourthly, he talks about we are reconciled to God and now have peace with him. Out of all the things that could be mentioned about the problem that we ourselves as human beings have, the one that the Apostle Paul wants to emphasize here is that we are not in harmony with God. The idea is that we are actually enemies of God. Now, sometimes we rebel with that. We have a bit of a problem with that. Because, you know, all I could see somebody like the Apostle Paul, who was trying to destroy all the Christians and he was trying to kill the Christians and everything. I could see where someone who actively is against God, yes, I could see him as an enemy of God. But I think it's because we don't quite understand or appreciate the condition of all of us as mankind, as it relates to a holy and pure God. And so the statement that the Bible makes very clear to us all is whether you're a good person trying to merit points or you're a bad person and you don't care at all about merit and points, we're all at the same level. We're all enemies of God. Because we've got a problem on the inside. It's not so much the sinful actions, it's the fact that we have a sinful, we just have a tendency to want to do things for ourselves. And even sometimes I do good things, but I do it for myself because I want to have glory for myself. So what the Bible says very clearly is, God needed to do something to change that particular relationship because we could never be friendly enough with God to actually become friends with God. It was only through the act of Christ going to the cross that it made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. And the word reconciled is just a very simple word. It just means to make peace. But we can't make the peace. God had to do it. And he started he initiated it. He made it possible. And we need to respond to it. And those of us that are followers of Jesus, that's what we've done. So that's why he says, we are reconciled with God. It's a powerful statement. And we now have peace with him. Do you live that peace with him? If you're an ambassador, you are at peace with God. Because God has reached out to you and he's saying, you know, if you just look at what my son did, and if you just acknowledge, you know what? I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I can't be good enough. I can't just work it up enough to be good on my own so that I can reach out and grab the hand of God. I need to say, oh God, I can't do it alone. I turn to what you have done through your son, Jesus. And then you reach out to him. And that's peace with God. So those are the benefits that we have. But we've got this wonderful privilege now. We are ambassadors of the King. We are ambassadors of the King. But with every benefits and perfect and perks, there are responsibilities. So let's go to the responsibilities, because he does emphasize those in this passage as well. And I've just boiled them down to two different things. Can't count this morning. Number one, to live in such a way to bring honor to the King. Remember what I said before? I really emphasize this because apparently it's really true. An ambassador is not sent to another country for his own benefit, but for the benefit of his country. And if he does things on his own, for his own benefit, he should be out of there. We have a lot of perks. God has done a lot for us, and we're now called ambassadors. But what that means is we have a responsibility not to live for ourselves, but for our King. We serve him, and we serve him alone. So there is a responsibility for us. Based on all that God has done for you, are you living for him alone? You take orders from him. You live the way he wants you to live. And you're doing it because of who you are in Jesus. You're an ambassador for him. See, it's really important. Can you imagine an ambassador who is supposed to represent our country? And so he's called the Canadian ambassador. But you know what? He's always putting down, terrible weather in Winnipeg. I would never go there. Toronto is just awful. It's just a terrible place to go. I would never go there if I was you. I'll tell you what, you should go to this country and do this and that. And they would say, listen, don't ever do trade with Canadians. They're just terrible to deal with Canadians trade with. What would happen to him as an ambassador? He'd be gone. Absolutely. You're to represent. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you committed to represent Christ? Are you ashamed of him? Are you a king? Or are we willing to represent him? And to do it faithfully and genuinely, authentically, because of what he's done for us. That's the call in our lives. So, first of all, to live in such a way to bring glory to God. By the way, if some of you are not living in a way that brings glory to God, and yet you think, oh, well, I'm still going to share about the good news about Jesus, you know what? Your life's not backing up what you're saying. And you're not going to be very effective in what you say. So that's why I put it at the very first that you have to be careful about living your life in a way that brings honor to the one we represent. But it goes beyond that, and the next one he says is to share the message of reconciliation on behalf of the king. Now, I just want to allude to one of the verses that he talked about in verse 20. I won't go back there. Let me just read what verse 20 says. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. You see, ultimately, God is the one who's concerned about everyone coming to peace with him. God's the one who has a heart for all of these people around us, about them coming to know Christ, them coming to know the peace of God, just like he wanted you to know that. And what he is asking is, I want you to be part of this action. I want you to represent me. And the way you represent me is the way you live, you show that you have peace with me. And then secondly, I want you to tell these people. But in telling them, you're not the one who has to somehow get them to say yes to what you want to give them as a message. You are, in essence, doing it, but he's doing it through you. That's what that passage is saying. He's doing it through you. The real motivation for going to reach those around us with the good news of Jesus is really God himself, and he's working through us. You know, when I think about that, it just takes so much burden off my shoulders. And I just think, okay, God, I'm just responsible for just being faithful. But I mustn't shy away from being open and bold to talk about this good news. God has reconciled the world to himself. People don't need to do anything to get right with God except to say, oh God, I've been trying to do it myself and it ain't working. So I see it as the wrong thing to do. And I turn and I realize that you have already made it possible through Jesus. So I respond and I say, okay, Jesus, it's yours. My life is yours. But it doesn't mean from then on you desire to live for him because of what he's done for you. But that's the message of reconciliation that we as ambassadors give to others. So we have a responsibility to live as a faithful ambassador for Jesus, but we have a responsibility also to share the good news of reconciliation with God with others. And it's really God sharing through us as we proclaim what he has done and made it possible. Now, as I share this morning, I do realize that there may be some people here today who say, listen, I'm not quite sure I'm an ambassador yet. Maybe I'm kind of on the other side, and I'm the one that the ambassadors are supposed to be sharing this news with. In other words, I haven't responded to this good news of reconciliation. Then my message to you is, I implore you. In fact, the word there is, I beg you. Respond to it. The reason that you would rather not do it, I think for the most part, is because we still think we can do it ourselves. But we can't. You may be a good person. It isn't enough. Respond to him. Say, God, I can't do it alone. I need to turn to you. And receive this message of reconciliation that Jesus, it says in this particular passage, a very strong passage, Jesus, who knew no sin, in other words, he'd never committed any sin in his life. He was like you and I. He could sit here on a Sunday morning and sit here just in the pew just like you and I. Because he looked so much. He was a human being. He was fully human, but he wasn't sinful. But the Bible says that God made him sin. That God regarded him as sinful. And he became the sin offering for us. That's the Old Testament concept of someone else taking the place of a person who was due to have the judgment of God, and that particular something else became the offering. Well, that's what Jesus did. He became sin for us in order that we might be set free from the judgment of our sin, the penalty of our sin, and also just the grasp of sin in our lives. So that's the message of reconciliation that I ask you to respond to. If you haven't done that yet, I ask you to do that. You don't have to have a magical way of doing it. You just acknowledge before God. That's called repentance, by the way. It sounds like a word that brings up all kinds of other images, but that's what repentance is. It's just an acknowledgement that the way I've been going is not the right way. I need to respond to him, and then I need to trust him. And at that particular moment, he will make a new creation out of you.